You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show.
It's AfterBuzz TV's House of Cards After Show.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers. Bing is for doing. And today, we're doing Chapter 11, first season, Netflix original series, House of Cards. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Emma Kostandian.
I'm Megan Thomas.
And John Comerford.
We are blessed to have Megan Thomas filling in for the illustrious Sophia Stanley that couldn't be here today.
Megan. Thank you for having me.
Yes. You look great. I like your hair and your outfit.
Oh, that's so nice.
Both
thank you.
Both you guys look great, actually.
Yeah, we coordinated.
Yeah, we did. We got the memo. You guys didn't.
We didn't. We got the guy memo.
Okay.
Be there. Be square. Anyway, so this season is good.
Yes.
Good. A lot of stuff going on. And it looks like Frank's plan is coming to fruition. If anybody was like not clear about what his plan was, is becoming more clear as we speak. So the episode opens up. Frank's meeting with VP Matthews and seemingly convincing him or manipulating him into running for governor.
Right.
Since Russo obviously is not fit to do so any longer. Mm-hmm. He's dropping out of the race. That radio interview that he had a week ago
kind of sunk him, I think.
Yeah, it was a complete disaster. Catastrophe, this guy. He's just a catastrophe. And now he has to do some damage control. But is he really doing damage control, or was it all part of his plan, Frank?
No. I think all along he wanted Russo to tank. He knew Russo was going to tank. They planned that. But what I found so interesting is that everybody's okay about taking advice from him right now. You're the guy that picked Russo.
Yeah.
Why are they all going, okay, what do you think, Frank? What should we do?
Well, here's the thing. Frank doesn't try to hide the fact that he makes these mistakes. He addresses them, but he addresses them in a tone in which it's inconsequential to the next thing in which he has lined up.
Yeah. It's kind of like misdirection. He's great at that.
Exactly. Man. So it was like when he was meeting with Linda and the president, he was like, granted I picked Russo. I take responsibility for that. But... Yeah. And it puts emphasis on that. Mm-hmm. So it is like a misdirection thing.
Yeah.
He mentions it. You can't say he's not taking responsibility because he does bring it up. And he is holding the whole education bill over their heads that he was successful in that. And he seems to always be in the know. Mm-hmm. He's still the majority whip, and he still has one foot in the House, one foot in both houses, the White House and the Legislative House. So they're playing ball with him because until he screws up majorly, I think, the president and Linda are going to keep dealing with him. And now he's got Linda her job, first of all.
Yeah,
and now
as long as he keeps delivering, they'll keep working with him.
And he's got her son in college now.
Yeah.
So now he's got that over her head.
But I just find it funny that they're, as the writers, I think somebody would make the argument, why do we keep letting this guy do this? Because he keeps setting these things up and they don't work out.
But I think he makes it appear that it's their solution when in reality it's just so people like that. People feed off of that. People
agree.
The fact that he does all the thinking and they're just taking the credit for it.
I just think it would be more intriguing if they had somebody go up against him who is aware enough to go, hey, wait a minute. Why is everybody so happy?
Exactly.
Frank is the guy that picked Russo in the first place.
Yeah, I think there should have been a little more backlash on him. And yes, he does have the actual solution, and he always has a solution, which I think is why people continue to trust him and go with him. But Somebody should have said something to him.
Yes, because it makes him a better lead. If you have people going up against him who are more formidable, then he has to be smarter on his feet, have a better plan, all those things. And it's just way too easy that he's got nothing. No, there was no mud on him at all.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Frank. Frank is only working on Frank's agenda, while everybody else is working on a number of other things. Mm-hmm. So if Frank knows what he's doing for Frank, whenever that plan screws up, he's the one that comes up with the solution before anybody else, because it's his agenda.
Yeah.
Everybody else is still working with other situations and doing other things before they can get around.
So you had no problem with nobody going, well, you did this in the first place. Why should we listen to you?
Right.
I wanted just something. I didn't need a lot of it. I just needed somebody to acknowledge the fact that you picked Peter Russo. Why should we listen to your next plan?
Yeah. Well, Linda was kind of doing it in the beginning when the season started, but he won her over.
With her son, getting
her son
a college.
Yeah,
so
even that, she figures it out later, of course. But even that, you got to know that no matter if he does anything, it has nothing to do with your son or your colleague or whatever. It's all for Frank.
Well, but at the same time, you can't deny when somebody has done something for you.
Yeah.
And especially something as major as that.
Yeah, but you just
got
to know
going in. She got sideswiped. I mean, she was so wrapped up into not being there for her son when she felt she should have been there as a mother to support him because she was working on the campaign with Walker that she neglected his life, which is important, and they as a family need to progress, and she wasn't there for him like she felt. And she wasn't, at that time, she wasn't even thinking about the job. Her energy was on her lack or negligence as a mother.
Yeah.
And Frank played on that.
Of course.
He ran with it.
But even that, I mean, geez.
He took a gamble with that, but he did very well.
He did.
He did very well, because when he talks to her, she brings that up. And he could have denied.
Mm. Right.
But he, you know, that's one thing. Even though Frank's character is very ruthless, he's honest about what he does, because he tells her the truth. When she asks him, did you get my son into college for a reason? Is this the reason?
Right.
Are you really trying to run for vice president? She lays it out there, and he's like, okay, I can go two ways with this.
Right.
And he takes a gamble, and he tells her the truth.
But he's only honest when he has to be.
Exactly.
Well, he's honest.
We can't call him an honest man.
Yeah, but on some parts, but then he puts a veil on other things that he doesn't want revealed. So that plays to his advantage, though.
He's honest, but not necessarily honorable.
No. Okay, those are two different things.
Right.
Correct.
Very much so.
So he's in the situation right now where he went to Matthews. He completely played upon information he knew regarding what had happened with Russo on the campaign trail, and knowing that that Matthews wants to, you know, be governor again. He left at his prime, whatever, blah, 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 blah. He plays on the information and manipulates Matthews into considering going back to be the governor.
But about
now
that point, did Frank all along, because I never saw in any of the episodes that Frank knew ahead of time that Matthews wanted to go back to the governorship. We only learned that, what was it, last episode, I think, with when he was out, no, two episodes ago when he was out there with Russo. And then we realized, oh my God, he doesn't like being the VP. He wants to go back to being vice. It's like, did Frank know that all along? Because we never got a tip on that. Or was that just happy circumstance that, I want to get Matthews out of the way, and he just happens to want to go back to governor?
I think his attitude pretty much tells it all. You know, he's been around him in the office, so he sees how, when you have an unhappy employee, they show. And he showed by, you know, the little thing as moving his name tag or, you know, standing in someone else's name tag, taking the pen.
But that doesn't show me that he doesn't want to be VP. That just shows me he doesn't like the way he's being treated.
Yeah,
my point is, I'm just curious, does anybody else know of the time when Frank let on that he knew that Matthews didn't want to be VP? Or is it just a happy coincidence? Because I think it's very implausible that...
Yeah, I think it was just the simple fact that when they showed him on the campaign trail with Russo, you see a completely different VP. He's happy. He's just excited. He's talking to the people. He's giving them different jokes and everything. But then when you see him in the White House, he's not happy. So I think
it made Frank's job a lot easier.
Exactly.
I think he was going to.
It would have been more interesting if Matthews didn't want to go back to the governorship. Now he had to convince him.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah. It was very easy for him.
Well, the thing also is, you remember when they first brought up Russo's name as a possible gubernatorial candidate for election or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So he actually approached the VP and said, I can't believe they didn't get your opinion on this, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. At that time, he put his cards on the table, not Frank, but Matthews, as far as his attitude towards his situation. Frank was able to take that and know that, okay,
I'm
on the right
track. Yeah, but he put the plan well in play. I mean, he put that plan in action well before that. That's what I'm saying is that...
Well, they mentioned it before, I believe, earlier in the season. I believe he mentioned something.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. If they did, I just missed it.
Yeah, I believe they did.
Because I thought... Geez, unless he knew that the vice president didn't want that gig and wanted to go back to governorship well before he put that plan into action, it's certainly a coincidence that it would happen now.
It is.
So he would have to know that, but I just never saw it anywhere in the episodes.
Right. It might. I think they did mention it, but I think it was like quick and light.
All right. Well, I just missed it.
Based on the relationship. Based on the relationship that Matthews.
Sure.
Had, and I think some things were noticed by Frank around the time of the bill signing, the education bill. But I think at that time, didn't they already have Russo pegged for?
No,
they didn't.
It was after
they didn't. So didn't he say something to? There was something said then. Something happened then with Frank and the VP and Linda around that time. I believe there was something said. Okay. But anyway.
Anyway, I didn't mean to hijack the conversation.
Yeah. No.
I thought I just missed something.
No.
Perhaps I did. So.
Definitely not. But I mean, that's definitely something that you would try to pick up. Yeah. There's so many. This is a very detail-oriented show. So you want to see, okay, did he say something?
I wanted Frank to run up against a VP that didn't want to leave. Because I thought, how the hell is he going to get him out of the office now?
Right.
That would have been, okay, how are we going to do that?
But he did definitely help manipulate that whole situation.
Oh, God, yeah.
So going from the meeting with Matthews to discuss that, and then going to talk to Linda and Walker about that situation and convincing them
that it's a good idea.
Manipulating them into it's a good idea. No, he knows nothing about it. So I haven't spoken to him about anything. No, of course
never
not.
Go
I would
to him
never.
First.
I'll come to you.
Bringing it to you.
I want to get your opinion on it first.
Impolite.
And I just love how he uses pretty much the same argument for both of them.
He does,
but he just flips the words and he says, oh, this person said this,
And it's great because he knows they don't talk.
Yes.
So I can say whatever I want.
So crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's what they did. I think maybe they did make it apparent based on the president's relationship earlier on. Not necessarily that Matthews didn't want to be the VP, but the fact that they had a strained relationship.
Sure.
They did make that evident.
That was
earlier.
Clear. Yeah, that was clear. That's always been clear.
So maybe that is what Frank
was preying on.
Was preying on and Absolutely. Using to maybe siphon him out of the position of VP, which is very interesting. So he's. Frank is he's a clever guy.
He's really good at finding somebody. He's like a sociopath. He finds your weakness and then he preys upon you.
That's what he is.
Charming as all get out.
Right. And you know what? The thing I do like about Frank is that when everything seems to be imploding around him, I believe he said it last episode that because, when Claire bounced and they had their issue with him not being supported on the bill and blah, 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 that. Even if I don't have all of my whatever, I must march forward.
Rebellion all around, and he's going to keep his eyes.
Exactly. And it seems like now he's even more focused.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, too.
Then he... Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that he seems more focused, that he's alone inside the house. He seems more calm, more... everything is... He just knows what to do. With Claire, I think he was... I don't want to say intimidated, but it seemed like that towards the end because she was, as you said, the businesswoman inside the house taking care of everything, and he felt a little bit intimidated by her.
I didn't get that.
I felt like maybe it was just pressure, like spousal pressure, I think it was more like pressure, because it's his wife.
It's almost like his wife's out of the picture for a while, so now he can focus on
her.
That's what it seems
like.
Opposite.
I feel like he's a little bit off his rocker because she, even though, I feel like that, that's a classic marriage, but I think in their instance, they're a little bit different. And I even have a note here that there's a scene where he's just sitting there outside.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he looks kind of lost.
Yeah.
He's sitting there quiet, kind of like, well, what do I do now? There's really nobody. I'm usually out here taking a smoke with my wife.
Exactly, and there's no sounding board, so there's no one to run these ideas by. So it's just him. So.
Well, it's like he's out of his, you know, out of his comfort zone a little bit. Like, his comfort zone is usually he has his wife there. They have somewhat of a routine. Now that routine has been shaken up a little bit. She's off gallivanting around with Adam. We're doing that. We'll touch on that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Whatever.
Adam.
Anyway, she can't love him for more than a week anyway, but we'll get back to that. Right. So Adam is only worth, he's only as good as his pictures. Yeah, but, you know, he doesn't have that right now. So it seems that he doesn't know where she's at, what she's doing. Mm-hmm. He sent Meacham to go find to solidify what he already knew.
But once he knew, it was like, okay.
Right. And once he was like, okay.
So he knew that she was at least safe, I'm guessing.
Well, it's not only that. He wanted to know, and that has to probably serve as like some kind of constant threat for him.
Yeah.
Even though we all know, Claire knows, she's not going anywhere. She's never going to leave Frank, because ultimately Frank could bring her the fulfillment that she's looking for as a person, not just as a wife. But
so then, is that actual threat then?
I think he just took it as like
you still have to think that still threatens your existence. You're still going to be unnerved. That's going to be unnerving. And his only solace is focusing on the plan at hand and taking it to the next level to bring everything back together. He has to bring, because everything is falling apart.
I understand Meg's point though. I mean, it's really not a threat because he knows that. He knows Claire so well that he's through him, with him, they can achieve what she wants.
Yeah, but so when is she?
But he's always going to get nervous as a man. She's out of town.
Exactly. But I think,
right.
So he's gonna, I think he wasn't bugging her because he knows this is the consequences for what he did with Zoe.
Sure.
So he knows she needs this outlet to let everything out and come back and be the Claire that she was.
But the consequence for what? Because they had an affair with Zoe, but she knew about the affair.
I think it was the whole
everything.
He didn't support her.
He
felt like, I'll let her go, because I think he knows her so well that he knows how she thinks, that he knows she's just gone for a little bit. She needs to cool down. She's only going to be there for a week. Yeah. Now that I know where she is, because I feel like
they've done it before.
Yeah.
I mean, so we know that she and Adam have gotten together, so I'm sure he's been aware of it as well. So.
And I feel like if he was really threatened, he would have went to go get his wife. But he knew, okay, she'll be back. That's fine. I'll let her have her peace. She's mad at me for what I did, but she's going
to
come back.
And when my wife goes out of town, I was like, all right, man, I get all the work done. I'm just very busy.
Yeah, he's definitely like getting it done while she's gone. I mean, it's really funny that it, you know, goes in on the dynamic of marriage and being in a relationship. It was like, well, he could get so far with Claire, you know, that he couldn't do by himself, but at the same time, there's things that he has to take care of on his own.
Because let's face it, would he really do to Russo what he did if Claire was around? I mean, that was the question I had. I go, that made it, again, I'm going,
that's
it makes it
question.
Much easier for him to have to do those kinds of things if he doesn't have to face that. I'm guessing, I don't know.
I think
he's a sociopath.
I think he would have, because it all had to do with how Russo responded to him. Saying, you know, I don't need anyone's help anymore. You know, I'm going to do this kind of like on my own, and I'm going to put out a statement. I don't need your help. So it was Russo threatening him again, or just appearing to be a threat.
Yeah, I'm guessing he probably would. I'm just wondering if it would make a difference. Would it be harder, more difficult? Would he, you know, just because, like, let's face it, the way he came back to Stamper, when you're going to hear a few things, we will not speak of this.
Right.
It's different with Stan.
And they said over the chessboard.
Yeah, exactly.
You noticed that? They were standing over the chessboard?
Yeah, over the chessboard. I thought for sure that you were going to see a
knock over something. I thought so too.
I guess the inference is there. You don't need it. I mean, that was it was a little more obvious.
I think Stamper is a little interested in learning how to play chess now. I think he's going to be Frank's challenge, in the next season coming up.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. But the look on Stamper's face.
Yeah.
When Frank was telling him, I was like, look, the things you're going to hear in the next few hours, we're not going to speak about it. He's like. Mm-hmm.
And Stamper's never rattled.
No, here's the thing about Stamper. Stamper's the one that does all his dirty work.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if he doesn't know and Frank tells him we're not going to ever speak of this, he knows. It's like,
whoa.
That's why he had that look on his face.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
What?
It wasn't just the recognition of, okay, I get what you just did, but it looked like Stamper was not ready. He didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was a little shocked by that. I was like, really? You didn't think that was going to go down? You know this guy. But maybe, because I couldn't get from that particular look, that exchange between Stamper and Frank, whether or not anything like this had ever come up before, because not that I think that Frank's off killing people all the time, but it seems like they've obviously gone down some dirty roads together, so right. It's not a far jump to right. go from what they've done to, oh, let's see, Russo's no more.
But usually...
Maybe it is. Maybe that's why he's so surprised.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. So you think...
And that's why this episode is my favorite, because... Okay. To me, this is the pinnacle. This is the pinnacle of what Frank is capable of.
Okay.
Before this episode, I didn't think he was really going to kill somebody himself.
Really?
I didn't think
after the killing of the dog and the whole thing we've been said, didn't you? I thought as soon as we killed the dog.
But that's why he has Stamper.
At some point.
That's what I'm saying. I always thought Stamper would be
but
the
one. But he has blood on his hands.
That could be metaphorical.
I know it could be metaphorical, but I thought as soon as he killed the dog, at some point during this season, he's going to kill somebody. That's what I thought.
I just didn't think he was that evil. That's pure evil. But he really killed him, and that's why I was rattled when I saw Stamper and Stamper's look. Like, are you serious?
Right.
Something just happened. Now, if Stamper's rattled and Stamper does all of the dirty work, then to me that is like, oh, we've crossed a line here. We've gone to another level here, Frank Underwood.
Yeah, but don't you respect a guy that does his own dirty work just a little bit, even as horrific and terrible as it is? At least he's doing it himself, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Independence.
Stamper, in a way, feels remorse for
he's
for
earning
Russo.
His stripes.
Yeah. You know, he's a recovering addict as well. So I think that kind of touched home with him because he knows what it is. You know, he knows what it is to go through it. So for
that
Frank to just wipe him out like that, I think really, in a way,
we can see how
he has remorse towards
and he has feelings, at least in some way, for Rachel. And I don't think it's some sort of relationship way. I mean, he actually feels for Rachel and wants to help her out of that life, I'm guessing, not just because he can keep her in control her, so to speak. So we see that Stamper has a different set of feelings for that. I can also think that the fact that Russo's now dead, and it wasn't just that he was a fellow alcoholic, but just that there are kids involved. I mean, all that.
Right.
I think Stamper wasn't ready to go down that road.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's talk about Stamper. Russo. Let's talk about Russo. Because Russo, he just, like, self-destructed. I mean, he's at his place, and he's over there binging, falling off the wagon completely. Like, he's under the wagon.
And even the guy comes to, deliver the bottles. He goes, hey, look, my dad's, his uncle is an alcoholic, and let me just take those bottles back. We'll come in, we'll talk.
And that was foreshadowing to me when I saw that. I was like, is something bad going to happen?
Sending a lifeline and he's refusing.
Yeah.
It was evident to me that, like, something's about to happen. I thought, because that seed was already planted. If you've noticed, like, throughout the season, there are things that have happened there where their seeds have been planted.
Yeah.
And then it came back later. Mm-hmm. For example, when Miss Tilden, the owner of the Herald, told the Hammerschmidt, the story about the two girls in college, and she planted the C word in his mind. Then he ended up using it on Zoe.
Right.
Those things have happened throughout the season where things have
come back.
Planted,
seeds
have been planted, and then they've come back. Mm-hmm. So this guy, Russo, is,
he was
a lost cause. Oh, so what I was going to say was the seed that was planted was when he went to Frank's house that one night. Frank
with
puts him in the
blade.
Tub, and he's like, and go along the tracks because the other way is the rookie way, going across. So I was like, oh, so it's probably going to happen now or sometime later.
I think the viewers could hate Frank all they want, but ultimately he did it to himself. So
what? Russo did it to himself.
Yes. Who?
What?
He went to the hotel. He went to the hotel. He didn't have to take that drink. He could have had self-control.
So, but you're equating that with killing himself. I mean, as if Frank had no hand in it.
No. Not the killing part. Just going downhill, he fell off the wagon. Because everyone, everyone feels bad for Russo. Everyone's like, oh, my God, he's such a nice guy. He has kids and this and that. But he did it to himself.
I don't feel bad for him. I agree with you on
that.
I feel bad that he got killed. I don't feel bad for
his downward spiral.
I feel
bad for his downward spiral.
Okay.
And I feel bad for it. not because he shouldn't be taking responsibility for himself, right. because he should and he needs to, but because somebody played on that.
Right.
When somebody has a weakness and you dig at it and you know that mm-hmm. they're recovering and they can't, they it's like a baby. You can't mess up a baby and then be mad at the baby because they're not at a level of understanding. And in this instance, that's what I feel like. He is, because Russo is kind of, he's recovering. He's
but
not true. Well.
Frank asked him, you know, are you ready to do this? Frank told him, you know, he didn't force him to do anything he didn't want to do. He made the choice to, you know,
correct.
Yeah.
Run.
And, yes. But I understand Megan's point, and I agree with that point of it. But it's still, it's really hard for me to feel sorry for a guy. Christina came over to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came over
to
help him out. The
concierge said, hey, I'll
that's
help
right.
you.
Mm-hmm. So there are lifelines along the way, and if you don't grab one of them, I stop feeling sorry for you because, look, there's help all around you, and you just choose not to.
Here's the thing.
And I agree that, you know, it's, you know, if you're in recovering or whatever, I'm not in recovering, but he's in the throes of his own addiction. Yeah. So it's very difficult to make wise decisions. But at some point, you got to hold people responsible.
Here's the thing. This guy, we're getting lost into the one thing that, you know, the alcoholism and his substance abuse problems have actually, you know, I think clouded one issue in the fact that he was cheating on his girlfriend. You know, why, dude, you're running for governor. Mm-hmm. The girl that you're in love with has come back helping you with your campaign.
Well, yeah.
And you're back with her and everything is looking gravy. Well, and you're going to throw this all away to go mess with a skeezer?
Again,
you
know? But yeah, because
and you're,
all
and you're
along
in the public eye.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you are an idiot.
Yeah,
doesn't remember that he's been with her before. So how many has he really
exactly.
been with?
He doesn't remember that who he's been with.
That's bad? You have to know.
That, to me, that has nothing to do with the alcohol. As far as I'm concerned, that had nothing to do with the alcohol.
Yeah.
He allowed himself to be placed in this
clearly,
situation.
Yeah, clearly. That night at the hotel. Yeah,
and she didn't even sleep with him.
I don't feel sorry for him at all.
She just got drunk.
You had every opportunity to walk away.
And he didn't.
And he didn't.
And this was addressing the whole thing with Stamper, because we talked about Stamper pimping Rachel out.
Yeah,
and blah, blah,
exactly.
blah. He didn't pimp her out. She played a hand in the situation mm-hmm. because she didn't sleep with the guy.
Yeah.
She was just seducing him and they're having a good time and she was making sure he stayed occupied and drunk to screw up that interview. And then she put her clothes on and she's like, "You don't look any like familiar to me." Remember she went and opened the she was fully dressed. They didn't sleep together. They were just drunk and doing
as far
drugs.
As we know. They could have.
No, because she still had her the inference was
mm-hmm. yeah, I
believe
I
that she didn't They didn't actually have sex.
Yeah. But even Stamper gives him the out. He says, "You don't have to do the interview." You
know,
he's like, "No, I need to do it, and I'm going to call in." And he's like, "Okay, go ahead."
I think their plan, Frank's plan, worked better than they had imagined. A little too well. You know,
definitely.
I don't think they expected it to go to blow up as big as it did. But yeah, he blew himself up there. Sorry, explosive. Exactly.
Russo. This poor guy. So what do you think about, he goes to his kid's house. I feel bad.
That was really sad.
Yeah, he's outside the house.
I feel sorry for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, and then the daughter, she's like, "Dad, you sound like, your voice sounds like it did on the radio."
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to hear
And he's like, "You heard that? I have a computer." It's like, dude, it's 2013.
So yeah.
So, you know, and she what's funny is, what's so sad is that she sounded so mature and he's sitting on the phone crying.
Yeah.
When you get to that point, you know. It's
bad.
It's bad. It's going down. I really thought, you know, it was believable that he would off himself, even though he didn't actually do it.
Right.
But
he did try to do something right. I mean, he went to the cops and he turned himself in.
I think that
so
was a turning point.
You could see that, okay, that I am going to take responsibility.
Right.
I think,
why would you leave with Stamper?
I think he really, once he hears that I've literally hit rock bottom, my children don't even want to talk to me.
Exactly.
They hate me. And that's...
Yeah.
If anything, my kids should at least love me. Yeah. And I think that's the point when he's like, "I've got to redeem myself. I've got to do something different. I've got to let the world know what's happened." And so, at least for my kids' sake, so that they're not being, you know, followed at school by the paparazzi and people aren't vilifying them for something they never did. So I think that's when he says, "I got to make a change." And that whole, everything's going to come to light now. I'm going to tell everybody what happened.
Right.
That was his turning point.
Also, I think there was a revelation this week that the kids were being followed at school and that the mom were keeping them home for a week because of the whole situation. Mm-hmm. So they have been obviously collateral damage with this this whole situation with him, which has also led to his downfall. He's just a poor dad. He needed help, and Frank helped him.
He gave him a ride home. He cleaned his car. You know.
Said, go ahead and drink one That's more right. night. Yeah. Go ahead. I'll drink with you.
Where'd you go, Frank?
Go ahead, go to sleep.
I guess he said, I'm gonna make a statement. And he said, yeah, you need to make a statement. He said, no, I'm gonna say everything. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell it all. And Frank was like, oh, no, you're not. That's not gonna happen. Right. I can't allow that to go down. So
do you guys think Frank would have still killed him if he didn't say all that?
No, I don't think so. Because they had a plan for him. They wanted to clean him up and get him to withdraw, and then push him aside so they could do continue the plan.
All along, he's been wanting his statement that he's withdrawing from the race.
Because you have that, then you have a clean start with the next guy.
So it was a nice transition.
Exactly. Not
that for him to completely self-destruct would bring too much attention.
Yeah, then the story's going
to
be about that.
And then it's going to be Frank is the one that chose him. And that's just bad for everybody.
Zoe is upset at him. So that, I think she would have probably fed into the story as well and revealed a lot of information that he doesn't want coming out. So he has a lot of people loose that can harm him. So I think once he said that, he needed to get rid of him.
And if you know anybody that needs to be gotten rid of, hit us up on iTunes. Let us know what you think about Frank Underwood,
Zoe,
any of these characters. Make sure you rate and comment House of Cards on iTunes. Let us know. Hit us up. We love to hear what you have to say about us. It only takes a minute, so tell your friends, tell their friends, and your friends' friends' friends.
And you guys can also follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube. If you guys have any questions for us or any comments, I know there's been plenty. Give us your theories and your feedback. Want to correct us on anything or put in your philosophies or theories, like John said, or hypotheses about anything, go ahead and call us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And I actually would encourage you guys to go ahead and call in now and say and make any comments or talk to John, because you guys can't find him on Twitter or Instagram. You can find him right here.
The only way you get a hold of me.
That's the only way you're going to get a hold of this guy. I want to talk about Claire's situation with Adam. We touched upon it. Yeah. We did talk about it. But this whole thing with her and him and them going walking in the park. Yeah. And it seems like they've known each other for a long time, but yet they're still getting to know each other. They're still exploring. And it was really strange to me when they took the picture of the girl in the park and he said that reminded her of herself, or
the woman reminded him of Claire. Yeah.
To me, there was like some symbolism in her looking up at the last second at the camera.
Yeah.
It was like she was unaware, but it was aware. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, the whole thing. I was trying to figure out. I didn't quite get all the reference and metaphor in that.
I just felt like it was the innocence that she used to have. And because Adam sees an innocence with Claire, he doesn't get to see the ruthlessness that she does, all the things that she does when she's with her husband.
Right.
He sees the free side, the happy side, here we see Claire taking pictures and she's laughing. I think this is probably the most we've ever heard her laugh.
Right. She was at the party dancing with another woman. She's wearing his clothes.
Right. She never lets loose like this. So he sees a carefree spirit
part of her
with her. And so I think when he sees this girl sitting there, she's serene, thoughtful, peaceful. And that's what he gets. And that's what reminded him of Claire. Now, Claire looks at the girl and is like, no, that's not me. That's not who my husband fell in love with. Yeah. I don't want to be that girl. She's boring. She's plain. She's, nobody's going
to
notice her.
And the big word she said is she wanted to have significance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Significance.
Yeah, she wanted to be significance. But Adam does mention later, he said, when you walked in here, you brought him right with you.
Yeah.
Because she was still shaking it off that
she
world.
She kept bringing him up.
And she kept bringing
him up. I think that's something her mother instituted in her by constantly telling her you're beautiful, you need a smile, something about her and her mom has a lot to do with her wanting to be significant.
Maybe they'll talk more about that before the next two episodes is up, or maybe they'll get into it next next season, season six. But I,
that was a great argument between the two, by the way. I love that when they talk. You could have chosen freedom, and she goes, "No, I chose somebody who I could love for more than a week."
Yes. And she goes, "I didn't mean that." Like, yes, she did.
No, she said, "No, she didn't say I didn't mean that. I should have said that."
Yeah.
And he said, "You're telling the truth." Right. I mean, he said, "You're telling that's how you feel," you know, kind of thing. But
yeah.
The only thing that I was surprised is when he went off to the studio, to the lab, to work, and he came back, I was expecting her to leave.
Yeah, I thought she'd be gone.
And he comes back, and she's laying there and sleeping. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You just said all that to him, and you're still going to go and sleep in the bed?
Well, yeah. I think there's just a piece of her that still is like, I don't get this freedom.
It hasn't been a week yet.
There you go.
It's only been 48
hours.
I think there's just a piece of her that's like, you know, I don't want to. This is a fun part of me, and I never get to do this. And I got to go back home to that right now, and I don't feel like going back home.
And
to
I think
that.
There was also a part of it that didn't want to leave it like that, because you notice as he left, she went at him, and he said, "No, don't." And so she didn't want to leave it like. I'm guessing he didn't want to leave it like that.
That's not what I picked up.
What did you get?
What I picked up is she's at a crossroads where was revisiting the consideration of whether or not she could actually live.
That life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's why she's...
That moment to moment life.
That moment to moment life. And she's spent extra time there because of her... This is what's been going on. Her whole very future, as she sees it with Francis, has been compromised. And whether they're going to actually achieve the goals, because she's actually been the driver's seat.
Right.
This last, I don't know, whatever, couple of episodes, she's had to take over. So
yeah, but poor she's me. Looking at, it's not working out the way I wanted to, so I'm going to jump ship.
Well...
Really?
I think this was all part of that consideration, her spending time with Adam.
So she's a fair weather wife.
No, I think this is probably the worst it's ever gotten.
Yes, and I think it's more of a test.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was that?
I think this is the worst it's ever gotten between her and Francis, because this is the first time, you know, even in the last episode, you'll see he didn't support her. And he basically told her, look, it's really what my vision is and what I want to do, and you're here with me. And in her mind, that's not the way it was. Mm-hmm. It was really like, we're partners in this. We help each other achieve our goals. And it's always seemed like that in the past episodes.
Yeah.
But when he told her that, that's when she was like, oh, wait a minute. So I'm basically a pawn in this too.
Well, he did mention, he said, not to put it lightly, I'm obviously not quoting verbatim, but he said, not to put it lightly, but what your goals are pale in comparison to what the big picture is or what I have planned. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that tells me that he's already sat down with her and they've already had a discussion about what the ultimate goal is, even though they haven't told the audience what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah,
and that's why she's with him.
Yeah.
So let me remind you what the ultimate goal is. The ultimate goal is whatever the ultimate goal is, not CWI, not the success of CWI. CWI just plays a part in the ultimate goal.
But I don't think he probably expressed that to her, because it looked like it was a gut punch when he said that to her. She was kind of surprised, like, oh, like, so I guess what I want to do and my personal goals aren't playing into what we're supposed to do. And just because it's not what your vision is, then it no longer matters. And I think that's why she revisited if she could actually be with Adam, because this was like, oh, well, apparently I'm being played a little more than I thought. I thought we were complete 100% partners in this, and apparently we're not.
Well, the thing is, I believe for her, it was more like, look, we have a team. It's like you have a team, and everybody has their role on the team.
Players.
He's turned into a, I'm the star of the team, I'm not going to pass the ball kind of player, whereas, you know, that's his teammate. And he's not sharing the game strategy when they're supposed to be doing it together. It's not that she doesn't know what's going on or whatever, blah, 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 but it hasn't been...
It was just never emphasized.
He's made himself... Right.
The fact that, you know, I think he probably mentioned that, okay, we're going to do this together, but he never, you know, verbally told her, well, yours is less important than mine.
Yes, exactly.
So I think she's always had the sense
that
they're partners and we're going to do it together, and CWI is going to help me get to that mission. But now it's just, oh, you're not important. Your job isn't important. This is what's important.
And that's something I think that she felt, especially as a woman, you know, like, oh, well, now my husband is really playing the card of, I'm the husband, I'm the man, I'm actually the captain of this ship. and you're the support. And I think in that instance, that's kind of how she felt, which is why she felt like, okay, well, let me go off for a minute. I got to go.
Yeah, right. I can understand that. But, you know, if obviously that, well, not obviously, but it seems like the plan would be, okay, I'm going to be a VP and then I'm going to go for the presidency. Well, yeah, in that sense, then, yeah, that is a little bit more important than CW if that's what your games are.
Right. To a certain degree.
And I'm sorry some people so blunt about it.
If the plan is actually working.
Well, it's not that.
The plans have to evolve and shift as things go. I mean, you get different stimuli, so you have to react. So if it's not going one way, it doesn't mean you just, screw it.
Well, what's important in the situation...
You get a different strategy.
...is that she feels like they're a team doing it together.
Yeah, I know.
Not him using her as a pawn to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I agree with Meg's point, is that she's, okay, that's it, I gotta get out of here.
Right.
It's not going. But I just still thought, you know, it's like, really, you guys are gonna work that out? You're gonna just, okay, just check out, all right.
But you know what, but I think there's a little, even though it seems like she just checked out, I feel like there's a little more loyalty on her part than there is for Francis, because if you look at it, here's Zoe at Frank's house. He calls her. She comes in. She's going through Claire's stuff.
Well, yeah.
Very disrespectful. Putting her clothes on, messing up, spraying her perfume. But think about it. He's watching this as a man.
No, but is it disrespectful?
I think it's disrespectful because he's watching this and he's allowing it to happen. You're allowing somebody else to come into your home.
On his part.
Yes. And then you see that they're talking about Claire. And then on the flip side, you see Claire and Adam. And Claire's like, you know, she's talking about her husband. She wants to talk about him. He's like, look, let's not talk about Claire anymore. Let's, you know, it seems like there's more loyalty for Claire because she keeps bringing her husband up with her lover. Whereas with him, he's just kind of like, spray her perfume, whatever.
He doesn't do anything for no reason. That had a reason. And he was doing it to soften up Zoe. So when they actually go outside to, you know, to cordially work together now, that, you know, she felt kind of like her system. Yeah. She needed to do that.
He needed,
and
he
if he
knew
wants
that she needed
her
to
cooperate with him, he needed to let her do that.
I thought that was great, though.
I liked it too.
I love the turnabout about her coming in and want to check her closet.
Yeah. I think you should put that back.
Because that was like a reverse marketing territory in a way.
But he was getting defensive.
He was.
He backed off because he saw that she was reacting to it.
Well, he only got defensive when she said, "It's like steel."
Yeah.
It was a reminder.
For a woman to say it's like steel, it's kind of like, it really actually described her. But see, Frank, and he sees Claire, and Claire sees Frank. They see each other as reflections of each other. Mm-hmm. So if a woman comes and looks at Claire and puts a dress of hers on, she's feeling it and the posture of it. It's like steel. It kind of, you know, a woman's garb is kind of like embodies her, you know, her essence, how she is, her persona kind of thing. And Claire is like steel.
Yeah. And I think he kind of did that in a way because, I mean, for me, I kind of felt like it was also to get back at his wife a little bit because he was kind of mad. Like, I don't know where she is. You just left me. Yeah. I'm sitting here by my lonesome out here contemplating life by myself without my smoke partner. and that's right when he calls Zoe and she comes over. So I think for a little bit, it was kind of like, my wife, I'm a little bit mad at her. She left me. But then when Zoe makes the reference of this dress is like steel, I feel like he comes to and he's like, okay, that's enough.
Right.
That's enough. Now we're getting to the disrespectful layer here, and I'm going to need you to take that dress off.
Right. Well, it's more like saying it's like steel was actually telling him he's like steel. Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as him, how he's absorbing it. Mm-hmm. Like, cold, unfeeling, you know, just... Ew.
That's what you want to be
like,
with?
Kind of like, ew.
That's what you want to be married to?
This is your wife?
Yeah. Which
is why he gets defensive, because he's like, okay, and now.
Go ahead, look at her clothes. Well, admire her. I mean, you would want to be with a woman that I already have. Of course you want to be like that until she makes that statement. Yes. It's like,
it's cool. Yeah, and then,
ew.
I think it was,
your wife is a wife.
Really significant.
She goes, I think that is steel is strong, and he's like, oh, wait a minute. My
But it's also cold. It's
cold.
Also means she's unfeeling.
Yeah.
And then she drops the garb and says, forget it. I don't want it. She can keep it.
Yeah.
But standing there, and this is what, you know, this is somebody who isn't cold and unfeeling.
Right. I think it was really funny when they go outside. He's like, let's just simplify things. And he's giving her this spiel about simplification when he's realizing that maybe something Claire picked up in 2 seconds, maybe you're not as naive as I think you, or you seem to be, or whatever. She, you know, he's like, okay, this one here is maybe a little hot to handle. So let me just go ahead and take things back to where they should be.
Yeah.
Things are kind of self-destructing with this situation, so let's get things back to where they were. You know, when she dumped him, it was a problem.
Yeah.
Now that he wants to simplify, after he hit it a couple more times, now it's, you know,
but
let's just simplify it.
Did you hear the dog barking in the background when Zoe was leaving? I imagine the dog when he was...
When
putting
it
out
dog?
Of its misery.
Oh,
in
wow.
The
I did too.
Zoe
I did
was
too.
The dog?
Yes. I don't know.
Whoa.
I guess we'll have to see. You guys could go on and give us your feedback.
Yes. And then he doesn't discard her, which is what she says that. And she's like, wow. Like, so we're ending this and you didn't discard me. And he was like, because I didn't have to.
Yeah,
but
you know.
He,
go ahead.
Are you going to talk about
that part?
No. When I was, she admits to Lucas.
She's hurt, but
that,
she's hurt by it. But, yeah.
Yeah, that she is hurt.
Oh, she spilled the beans to Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Now Lucas has all the goods.
Yeah.
He knows everything.
But he doesn't know who it is.
If I feel bad for anybody, it's Lucas.
Lucas.
Well, she's there like 24/7 now, so he needs to know some information about her.
Great. Thanks. Now you tell me all this?
I would never hurt you.
Right.
Fine. Yeah, but that's interesting. You can't say that. And he says, yes, I can. He's probably the only guy in her life ever that actually probably could follow through on that and not hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even know what to do with that.
Yeah. She's
doesn't
like,
know,
what?
Just like, so, this you know, want to know what issues she's got with daddy.
Well,
no,
I mean,
seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think she's ever heard anyone make a promise to her, period.
Well, if they did, they broke all of them.
Probably.
She just does not know what it's like.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting. It was like when she got that text, going from Zoe to Claire, when Claire got that text about Russo, it was like, time to go back to work.
Yeah.
Her whole...
Yeah. Everything changed.
And she made the origami...
Yeah, no,
out
they
of the
picture,
piece of the
going.
Picture.
Well, we had lots, you know, we also had, I thought the two things when last week with Claire busting in on Zoe and going through her closets, and then we see the continuation of that now Zoe cleaning up her place, going through her closets, and then the next scene, she's actually going through somebody else. Claire's, so I like those turnarounds.
Yeah.
And now the origami is trying to make a comeback. I still don't know what the hell the reference is all about, but I thought it was interesting because I knew as soon as they did the collage with the woman and the big old pieces, I go, okay, well, that's going to come out somehow. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I still know what the hell it means.
I thought the symbolism was, I'm more complicated than you could ever understand, which is why it's not just a pretty
just
plain picture, but there's something that is very complex about
puzzle.
It. Yeah, that you just will never understand.
But because they named the portrait Claire, and she used one of the pictures to make the origami kind of represents that was her.
And all
some
the pictures were rearranged.
Her.
Yeah,
but she's actually, she's different now. As Megan said, she's complicated, so he's never going to understand who
she
is
now. I don't know. She's not that complicated, actually. She goes, look.
I think for him, though.
For
Adam,
not,
to be
dude, with. She's really not that into you. She loves you for about a
right?
week. That's it. She likes to hang out with you because you have freedom that she has chosen not to pursue.
Adam.
That's it.
Adam, get over Claire. get over her. She's not the one, bro. That's Francis girl. Okay, so let's go to news and gossip really quickly.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Do we have any news? Do we have any gossip?
No.
I guess we should have checked in on that before.
I just brought it up. I know they're still shooting season 2 right now. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
Hopefully we'll get some guests on in the next...
What I'm curious about, and maybe so you
few
people
weeks.
Out there can... I guess we'll have to do some homework on this.
Yeah.
Is what their budget is for next season. Because this thing... Cause
I think it was the two seasons combined, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Is it? No,
no,
I think it was... They've been tight-lipped about the second season's budget so far. But I do know it's shooting in D.C. for sure. Because some people are like, well, is it shooting in L.A., Hollywood, and they're just using backdrops? No, it is shooting in D.C.
Yeah, I think they average like a $4.5 million budget per episode.
Well, well, really, because the first one was $100 million for the whole thing. So a little over $100 million for the 13 episodes. So
yeah.
That's a little more than $4
million. No, that's how much they got for it.
That's how much they got for it.
Yeah, they said they shot it per episode was like $4.5 million per episode, and then they sold it to Netflix won the bid on.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
$100 million.
You're right.
But they might up the budget per episode since it's doing so well.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll see what happens. I can't wait to see what happens with Frank and his bloody hands. let's go to predictions.
And And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So it's really hard to do predictions for this show for everybody who's already seen everything because all 13 episodes have been posted already. But going from...
Emma, you've seen the whole thing. You predict.
I refuse to.
I mean, based on what's happening, you know, what's happened, I wish Ophelia was here just to talk about this whole thing because of the whole vice presidency thing. She's like, you know, she didn't really...
She wasn't sure. Yeah,
she wasn't sure.
She wasn't really on the bandwagon of him wanting to be president.
Of wanting to be president, but it looks like... Linda called out his whole. It was like, for 2016, then for 2020, he can jump to the president. She laid it out for him. So he had to go ahead and do, you know, do whatever as far as putting his cards on the table with Linda and saying, hey, this is what it is.
Season arcs, then the next season would be him trying to become vice president.
We'll see.
This season would be them actually saying, okay, you're going to be vice president. Then it would be the challenge to actually get him not
nominated.
Can I
make a prediction for next season?
Sure.
I think they're going to have kids or they're going to adopt some kids.
There you go.
Are you kidding me? We
would have to.
Please, no. I don't want them breeding.
We would have to. That's why they're going to adopt.
That's what we need. More psychopaths in the world. That's great.
Until next time, AfterBuzz, where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream.
You can find me on Instagram at Emma_3xK and on Twitter at I am Emma K.
And you can't find me anywhere, but I do want to thank Megan for joining us. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Megan. And you can find me at Club Thaddeus, Instagram, Twitter, and GQJedi.com. GQJEDI. Until next time, after Buzzers, see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.